Five Star Matinee.
Mother, all you really care about is your garden, and I know you'll find some way to save it. That's what I'm driving at. If that's being a good wife, then I want to be a bad one.
Five Star Matinee. This is your host, Fred Collins. And in just a moment, you'll hear a wise and knowing story by Sophie Kerr about a woman who had to prove to her own daughter that the man is always right. But first, hear this.
You know, many great men have attained the highest office in our land, the presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He was the son of a president and spent much of his early life abroad with his father. His experience in other countries brought appointments as minister to Holland, to Prussia, to England, and to Russia. In 1824, he ran for president. And though he received fewer electoral votes than his opponent, the House of Representatives chose him to serve in the office. His administration was marked by intelligence, firmness, and integrity. You should have his name by now, but if you don't, here's an important clue. He failed to win re-election, but later he served as congressman for the Quincy District in Massachusetts. Yes, he was John Quincy Adams, 6th President of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage.
Now, Five Star Matinee, as Peggy Allenby stars in The Man Is Always Right.
See how I've run the wall out there, crescent shape, and put the delphinium and lilies against it. But I want something tall behind it. Now, I was thinking...
Mother, please.
Oh, I was just thinking aloud, Joyce.
You just don't care. I believe you're taking Martin's side.
The first year's always difficult, dear.
I don't want platitudes, Mother. I want you to understand I'm through with Mart. I'm not going back to him, I tell you.
Your father's not going to like this, Joyce. He's very fond of Martin.
Oh, Father won't make trouble. You'll wangle him around the way you always do. That's one reason I took a stand with Mart. I said to myself, I'm not going to be eternally managing like Mother.
You shouldn't say that. Your father and I are very happy together. I try never to let him down, even when he has one of his good ideas.
Well, I certainly didn't let Mark down. I simply said that if we must entertain that stupid boss of his and that super stupid boss's wife, it was all right. But if some of my friends came in during the operation, you needn't treat them like lepers. I refuse to kowtow to the days. They're squares.
That's your time.
Mother, look. You care more about this garden than anything else in the world. It's your own creation, and you're simply crazy about it. Suppose Father wanted to do something to spoil it. Wouldn't you fight?
What? What made you say that?
Well, it's true, isn't it?
No, it is not. It's an impossible analogy. Now, you'd better come into the house with me. It's lunchtime. And please, don't say anything to your father about Martin. I'll tell him later.
Well, it's certainly good to have our little girl back at the table again, isn't it, Mother?
Yes, indeed.
How's everything at the honeymooners, Joyce? Martin all right?
Oh, definitely, Father. Nobody could be more right than Martin.
Yes, he's a fine boy. I suppose your mother told you all about my latest brainstorm. This one's a honey.
No, as a matter of fact, she hasn't. We had a walk in the garden, that's all.
Well, that's it, the garden. We're planning to take down a section of the wall and build a barbecue. We're going to throw a big party, a whale of a party. And guess who's going to be the chef? Me.
So, it wasn't such a far-fetched analogy after all, was it, Mother?
Huh?
Oh, it's just a private joke, Cliff.
Oh.
I suppose the grill's going to be right in that crescent-shaped place between the delphinium and the lilies?
That's the spot. You guessed it right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
The stone fellow will be here this evening with the plans and specs. You'll start tomorrow morning and finish in a day or two.
Sounds exciting, Pops. Where'd you get the idea? From the barbecue the Widmers gave last week?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If Harvey Widmer can cook a steak outdoors, I can cook a better one.
I bet you can, too.
Well, sure I can. There's nothing to it. Well, I'm glad you both approve. Now, back to the mines for me. Bye, dear.
Goodbye, Cliff.
How about you, Joyce? Still be here when I get home for dinner?
Oh, I'll be here, all right.
Good. See you then. We'll go over the plans together.
Are you actually going to let him do this, Mother? It'll ruin your garden.
No, it won't be so bad. And he does seem to have his heart set on it.
But you'll head him off some way. I know you will. Mother, don't you see that's what I hate? Pretending to yes him and then scheming and plotting to manage him out of it. That's what I won't do with Mark. You treat Father like a child. You wheedle him to get your own way. Well, I won't do that with Mart. I won't. It's sneaky.
Joyce.
I'm sorry. I sound rude, Mother. But you ought to face the truth.
The truth about your father and me? Or about you and Martin?
Don't quibble. What does it matter, anyhow? You don't really care about Martin and me.
Joyce, my poor child, I do care. I care dreadfully.
All you really care about is your garden. And just as sure as I'm sitting here, I know you'll find some way to save it. And what's worse, Father will never know he's been cheated. That's what I'm driving at. If that's being a good wife, then I want to be a bad one. That's not happiness. It's hypocrisy.
Oh, dear. But we better not discuss this any more for a while, Joyce. We both might say things we'll regret. Why don't you run over to Nina's and play a little tennis?
What are you going to do?
I'm going out to the garden. I want to speak to the gardener about moving those delphinium and lilies so that Cliff can have his barbecue.
You're listening to The Man Is Always Right by Sophie Kerr. Today's attraction on Five Star Matinee.
Let's take a moment to think of the world we live in, of just how small it really is. You actually could be in one country today and another tomorrow. For example, let's say that you go to Spain. Now, if you like to try new delicacies in eating, you'll like Spanish food. It's tasty and carefully prepared. Contrary to the Americans' common belief, Spanish food is not peppery hot like Mexican dishes. However, they do have a custom of using a lot of olive oil and garlic in their cooking. So, if you would rather not have your food prepared with these two ingredients, just politely request the waiter to have your food cooked without them. He'll gladly oblige. You'll also note that governmental laws, as well as the customs of Spain, are different than what you're used to in the United States. Now, this is no problem. Simply return their courtesy by respecting their way of life, and you, in turn, will be accepted and respected as a friendly guest. For a good friend never offends. Remember, the only way to have a friend is to be one.
Now, back to Five Star Matinee, and The Man Is Always Right.
I don't know, Miss Herbert. This ain't the right time of year for moving lilies.
I know, Joe, but we haven't much choice. Now, I want to set them in that spot I've marked over there.
I still don't like it. What about the garden club?
Oh, yes, the garden club.
You said yourself they wanted to come over and look at the way you fixed the place up this year. And now just when you got the way you want, you tell me to move half the stuff.
Well, sometimes we have to change plans, whether we want to or not.
Yeah, I guess so. Still seems a shame, though. Nobody in their right minds would do it.
Well, perhaps not, but we'd best get to work. I want this section finished before dinner.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, how did my girl spend the afternoon?
I played tennis. Mother worked in her garden.
The flowers are partly moved, dear. We'll go over the plants tonight, and if we like them, the men can start work in the morning. I hope it's not going to cost too much, Cliff.
Oh, the cost will probably be prohibitive.
Oh, listen to her, Mother. Mart must be getting pretty strict about the housekeeping bills.
How much will it cost, Cliff?
Well, Harv Widmer said his came to about $200. I guess that won't break us.
Of course not, dear. And shall we plan the big party for about the 15th?
Sure. That would be fine. Honey, I hope you don't feel I'm spoiling your garden or anything.
Oh.
Now, if you've got the slightest objection, I'll call off the whole project.
Nonsense, dear. I've had the garden too much to myself anyhow. I want to share it. Does my reading light bother you, Cliff?
No, it's all right. I wasn't sleeping anyhow. I've been lying here wondering about Joyce and Martin.
Oh, it's just a silly quarrel.
But she's left him. You know, maybe if I went over and had a man-to-man talk with Martin. He's a level-headed boy.
Now, we can't interfere. They've got to work it out themselves.
What's the matter with that boy, anyhow? I thought he was reasonable.
Neither one of them is being very reasonable. Time is the only thing.
But I thought they were in love.
They are, dear. That's why they're both so hurt with each other.
Now, people are going to start talking. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I thought about that. We'll say she came home to help out with our big barbecue party.
But suppose she stays on after that. If Mart isn't here for the party, people will darn well know that there's something wrong.
No, we're not asking any of the young crowd, only our own friends. It'll work out all right.
Why can't they be more like you and me? We never had a real quarrel in our whole marriage.
Oh.
These pig-headed kids, they ought to be smacked. I hate to say it of Joyce. She's a grand girl and all that, but she hasn't got your character. Nobody has, for that matter.
If Mart were more like you, Joyce wouldn't have a bit of trouble, Cliff. That's the whole trouble, you know. You and I are so happy together, it spoils us. We can't understand other people's marriages.
Yes, I guess so. And do you know something? I'm not complaining one bit.
You're not going to work without a second cup of coffee, are you, Pop?
Afraid so, Angel. I've got to be in early this morning. Where did your mother go?
Oh, she's in the other room addressing invitations to the party.
Oh, that's fine. You know, I can hardly wait to show Harve Widmer the real way to cook a steak outdoors. Well, I've got to run. Take care, dear.
I will. Cliff!
Oh, Joyce, did your father go?
He just left.
Oh, I wanted to check with him about the Brysons. I wonder if they're back from Florida yet.
The man was here about some candles or something.
Oh, yes. Part of the decorations. Did I tell you? I'm planning to have colored tablecloths and peasant plates and jolly little peasant figurines on the tables. Sort of like a French village feast, you know? And I'm having floodlights, pale amber ones. With the candles and the full moon, that should be enough light.
Oh, you've ordered a full moon.
Darling, the floodlights will be fixed to look like moons. We'll have four full moons besides the one in the sky.
Of course, they can all be taken down. The wall rebuilt and the flowers put back. It is all just a stunt, isn't it?
Stunt?
You know what I mean. Or maybe you don't care as much about your garden as I thought you did.
You can't imagine how much I care about my garden.
And this great sacrifice on your part is strictly to make Father happy? Honestly, Mother, I had more respect for your old technique.
Oh, Joyce, stop it. I can't bear to see you so unhappy. Make it up with Ma. Tell him you were wrong.
So that's what you think. I was wrong and Mark was right. The man of the house is always right in your book, isn't he? You want me to make my life lying and false the way yours is. Well, I won't do it.
Are you trying to say I don't love Cliff?
Not the way I love Mark.
Well, I can certainly agree with you there.
Oh, Mother. I don't know what I'm doing, what I'm saying. I'm just so miserable. If I could only believe...
Believe what, dear?
Believe you. You've got it all planned. I don't know what your plan is, but I feel it. I don't want love to be planning and scheming and underhanded dirty tricks. If it is, I don't want it, any part of it.
Oh, my... Poor little Joyce.
Here are the place cards, Mother. Shall I scatter them around on the tables for you?
Scatter them? Oh, good heavens. This is the most delicate part of the arrangement. Now, let me see. The Deans aren't friendly with the Barretts. The Wilders and the Strongs love being together.
Why go to all that trouble? I'd let them sit anywhere. It's more fun.
Only when you're young, dear. Older people like arrangements. By the way, that dress looks very nice.
Oh, thank you. I thought of wearing a dirndl and playing a zither.
Oh, we're having a man with an accordion, dear. Very good, too. My, I almost put Laura Courtney next to Henry Evans. She detests him. By the way, where shall I put you?
How about next to Mr. Strong? He's a lawyer. Maybe he can advise me about getting a divorce.
Oh, no, dear. Professional men hate being consulted at parties. It does them out of a fee. Besides, you... Did you say divorce?
Hey, where the blazes did somebody go with my chef's hat? I can't find it anywhere.
You left it out here, dear. Let me put it on for
okay.
you.
Okay. Try it.
There. Oh, you look very impressive. Doesn't he, Joyce?
Yes, very.
You know, this is going to be the party of the year. Say, did you lay out those big asbestos gloves for me?
They're right here.
Boy, wait until Harvey gets a load of this costume. He'll turn green with envy.
Now, dear, you'd better get the grill started. The guests will be here soon, and you have to get the coals just right for cooking.
Sure, I know. I had Joe start it up for me. Hey, Joe, how's the fire coming?
I can't seem to get the blame thing to draw, Mr. Herbert.
Oh, I'll be right over. Good grief, do you suppose they botched the chimney job?
It's going to be all right, Cliff. The man guaranteed it. Now, you get over there and see to the fire. I want everything to be just perfect tonight.
Oh, Mother, I must say your guests all seem properly impressed.
Oh, isn't everything just perfect? Mm. And look at Cliff over there broiling the steak. He's as happy as a lark.
Well, shouldn't some of the steak be done by this time? He's been at it a long time.
Mrs. Herbert, can I see you a minute?
Yes, Joe, what is it?
Mr. Herbert's in a little trouble, ma'am.
Trouble?
Things ain't working out just right with the steaks.
Oh, dear, I better go see. Thank you, Joe.
I'll come with you, Mother.
What can go wrong with steaks? They're not that hard to cook.
But Pops isn't used to cooking anything.
Cliff, what is it?
Oh, thank heavens you've come. I'm in a mess.
What's wrong, dear?
I just can't seem to get the hang of it. There's something wrong with this fire. Oh, hang it, I've ruined two steaks already.
He's right, Mother. Look at these. They're like charcoal.
I just have to give it up. Harv Whitmer's going to give me the biggest horse laugh you've ever heard.
He's going to do nothing of the kind. Joe! Oh, Joe, will you come here a minute,
please? What are you doing? If you take over, it will ruin everything. They'll know I'm a flop as a chef.
They'll know nothing of the kind.
You called me Miss Herbert?
Joe, go into the kitchen and take those reserve steaks out of the refrigerator. I'll be right in to help.
Yes, ma'am, right away.
What's all this about? What reserve steaks?
Just a precaution, dear. I'm going to cook the steaks in the kitchen. Joe will bring them out behind the wall here. He'll pass them to you, and you put them on the grill for a few seconds. Do you understand that?
Yes, but
never mind now. No one will see. They'll think you cooked them. Now, you do just as I say. Joyce, you come with me. We've got work to do.
Good night.
Oh, I'm so glad it's over.
Oh, Mother, it was a lovely party.
Wasn't it, though?
Mm,
just perfect. Your father was so proud.
So was I.
You? But why, dear?
Mother, when you saw Pops making a mess of things tonight, I was sure you knew all the time he couldn't cook those silly steaks. I thought you meant to let him see it, take his medicine, and wind up this grill party stuff once and for all so you could get your garden back.
But, dear, I never...
I know. You saved his face for him. Oh, Mother, right then I knew how right you were. I mean, about husbands and things. I mean, they have to be humored, and it's nice. You can't let them down. Mother, I'm going back to Mart.
Oh, Joyce.
Oh, forgive me, Mother. I was awfully mean. I don't know what I was thinking of. Say goodnight to Pops for me, huh? I love you both.
Oh, Joyce, wait. Hadn't you better phone Mart first? Suppose he's still mad.
Oh, don't worry about Mart. I can manage him.
Night. Night, dear.
Hey, was that Joyce just going out?
Yes, dear. She's going back to her husband.
What? But she looked like she was crying or something. Is she all right?
Oh, yes, Cliff. Joyce is all right. Joyce is fine now.
American heritage was founded on one belief, the importance of every person as an individual. All our rights as American citizens grew from that belief. Our Constitution gives the individual the right to choose or change his leaders through his vote. It also gives him the right to meet with others and discuss such possible changes. These rights protect all the other rights and freedoms of the individual. But in order to take advantage of these rights, the individual must have an active interest in his local, state, and national government. When he votes, he must vote wisely, so that the rights and freedoms of others will be strengthened and guaranteed. This recognition of the individual's rights has added another page to your political history. Now our thanks to Peggy Allenby, who played Mrs. Herbert, to Barbara Becker, who was Joyce, to Edwin Cooper, who played the father, and to Delmar Nudesman, who was Joe. The Man is Always Right by Sophie Kerr was adapted for radio by William Welch and directed by Daniel Sutter.
Star Matinee comes to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.